Well, let's pray then. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your concern for us. Thank you that we have a place we can meet in freedom and we can just fellowship. Father, we thank you for all the things you've done already in the lives of these graduates. And just show us all through your word today how it applies to all of us, what you want to do. Help us grow up to be a witness for you. We thank you. There's so many complications in people's lives today and difficulties. We ask you to help us to be used by you to encourage them and help them through these difficult moments. We ask you to truly strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. We are actually talking about getting wisdom, and that does apply to all of us. You say, well, I'm not graduating. Well, you graduate every day, you know. We should be getting a little bit better graduating up, I hope, every day. You remember whenever you were a child and you would come home and daddy would say, what'd you learn today? You remember that? That didn't happen to you. They wanted to know so you could tell them something. What, you learned something today, right? That's what we want to look at because we don't want to be a goober. Y'all know what a goober is? I'm not talking about a peanut cluster. I'm talking about a goober. You know, when they said, don't be a goober. This guy was, he listed some examples of goobers. He's just sitting around watching people, and he says, this is a goober. All right, I'm gonna give you his definition. Goober number two, his sighting. I was at the airport checking in at the gate when the airport employee asked me, has anyone put anything in your baggage without your knowledge? Did you hear that? Has anyone put anything in your bag that you don't know about? He said, if it was without my knowledge, how would I know? To which the attendant said, he nodded and knowingly said, but that's why we ask. What? Figure that one out. The stoplight of the corner. And I don't know if we have any in Warner Robins, but there are cities where the stoplights on the corners have buzzers, so when the light turns red or green, it buzzes. Have you ever been in one of those? Some of you, they do exist. He was at the corner where the where the buzzer to indicate it's safe to pass goes off. He said, the stoplight on the corner buzzes when it's safe to cross the street. I was crossing with an intellectually challenged coworker. You know what that means? Intellectually challenged. You know what it means? That's some of this new terminology for not smart. Intellectually challenged coworker of mine when she asked if I knew what the buzzer was for. He said, I explained it to her that it signals to the blind people when the light is red. To which she responded and was appalled by it. She said, what on earth are blind people doing driving to start with? That's a goober. He said he worked with an individual. Y'all know what a strip plug-in is, right? You plug it into the wall, and then you got four or five outlets that you plug into it. What do they call those? Bus bar? A what? Power strip? He said he worked with an individual who plugged in her power strip back into itself. And for the life of her, she couldn't understand why the system wouldn't work. That's a goober. We don't need to be goobers. There's enough of those out there, right? That's what we're talking about when we say get wisdom. You say, well, I'm not graduating. You're always graduating. You always want to be smarter tomorrow than you are today. And you have to pay attention to that. And number one, you do not become smarter just by getting a degree from an institution. And that's what we're going to look at quickly in Proverbs. In chapter 4, it says, hear, my sons, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake yet not my law. For I was a son unto my father, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Talking about wisdom, understanding. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote thee. She will bring the honor. And when thou do embrace her, she will give to thy head a chaplet of grace. A crown of beauty will she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying. And the years of thy life shall be many. Did you know, this is not part of our talk today, but did you know in the Ten Commandments, it says, if you honor your father and mother, automatically you live longer. That's a promise God made. If you honor your father and mother, automatically you're going to live longer. Now that days may be lengthened. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the paths of uprightness. When you go, thy steps shall be straightened. And if you run, you won't stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. You know, most people, and I should say this, not all, but most people want to be happy. When you say that, I know a few people that they didn't want to be happy. They didn't do anything to be happy, so I would conclude that they don't want to be happy. But by and large, most people, they want to be happy, but the problem is the way they choose to be happy is not what brings lasting happiness. And that's what he's talking about. Most people want to be. They want to be happy. But the problem is the confusion is how is it that we obtain happiness that will last for a long time? George Cross was a former president of Oklahoma University, and this is what he said. He said, now, some of us are old enough to remember this statement. It says, the universities are called the storehouses of knowledge. Any of y'all remember that? I don't know what they call them now. Nut houses now is what some of them are, but the storehouse of knowledge. Are y'all hot or is it just me? Is it just me? Y'all know how to turn that down one notch? Turn that down one notch. All right. Who over here knows how to turn down that notch? David, you're an air conditioned man. Go turn that one down at least one notch. I appreciate that. He said, they're called the storehouses of knowledge. And he said, this is why. Because the freshmen, the first-year student, bring all this knowledge in that they already have. They bring it into the campus, and the seniors that are leaving take nothing with them. They don't learn anything. It's that right button. If you'll just go down one notch and hit done, it'll be set. Appreciate it, guys. Do I need to come do it? Life is deep and simple, but our society gives us a shallow and complicated version of how to have it. Just make sure you don't turn it off. That's the main thing, all right? All right. A man approached a speaker and he said, you Christians are all brainwashed. And the man responded, we're all brainwashed. We are. All of us. We're all brainwashed. And he said, the difference in Christians is we choose what washes our brains. Everybody else lets just what the world gives them out there wash their brain. That's what it is. Most people want to be happy, yeah, but we don't all agree on how that comes to pass. The longing is not bad, it is good, but also evil consists in trying to find happiness in something that does not last. We watched one episode of Dragnet last night. Who doesn't know what that is? Just raise your hand. You young people probably don't never heard of that. It's set back in, that show was probably 1970, 71. And they were going to investigate, Sergeant Friday and Bill Gannon, his partner, they were going to investigate this new prophet who was on the scene. And he was already, they pretty were sure that he was selling narcotics to the middle schoolers just down the street. So they went in to have a talk with him, and in their long conversation, he just pretty much says, the only way to really experience life and be happy is you got to take off on drugs. And he had his little Bible that he had written, and it talked about, how to grow your own marijuana and how to have a heroin and how to use LSD and to get you all these mind-altering drugs. And he said, because you can't really experience what true life is until you do that. And Sergeant Friday said, here's the problem with that. When you start over here in marijuana, you don't stop with marijuana. And by the way, it was still illegal. It was really illegal then. He said, because, and he illustrated how many kids they are around that have overdosed on heroin and LSD and never come back down. And he talks about, he said, you got to understand, but in the end of the show was they locked him up just a short time later because they caught him selling narcotics to middle schoolers. This was in the 70s, true story. That's exactly what happens. Someone's always trying to find something, whether it's skydiving or boating or walking. They're always trying to do something to bring them happiness. But the problem is it only lasts for a little while and then it's gone. You either got to do it again. There's nothing lasting. So when we're talking about this issue, we're talking about God has made us. He's put us together for eternal happiness. And he's going to talk and he's going to show us exactly how it comes to pass. We live in a world when often we're called upon to do the right thing at the expense of our happiness. You know, how many times in counseling over 25 years, and people say, well, you know, what they're about to do is absolutely against God's word, but they say, but God wants me to be happy. No, he doesn't. He wants you to be obedient. And so we just sacrifice what God said already to do because we say, oh, yeah, but God wants me to be happy first. Nope. Sometimes to do the right thing for a short time, you have to sacrifice your happiness, but in the end, you can be eternally happy if you do the right thing now. But it's going to cost you. It always costs you. Doesn't it always cost to do the right thing? It does. And a lot of times, we do not see the repayment for doing the right thing here on this earth. God has established this world in such a way that doing good through faith in Christ always leads to a greater happiness, and that's what we're talking about, eternally. You know, there's never going to be... I remember Charles Lowry, our psychology professor, his mom, who was very, very smart. He had a Ph.D. in psychology and pretty well known around the world. His mom told him as a pretty young man, after he had gotten, you know, sometimes we get some education and we think we know it all, right? Not against you people who have graduated from high school or doctors, either one. But just because you have education don't mean you know anything. And, you know, that's exactly what goes on. You know, we think we got it all together, and then we do not have it all together. And that's exactly what's happening. Eternally, we will absolutely be happier if we follow some guidelines now. But Charles' mother told him, and said, Charlie, you're never going to get enough of what you don't need to satisfy you. That's exactly right. Because you start with marijuana and then you're going to go to this. You start with beer and then you're going to go to this. There's never ending. Why? Because you get null and dump. I know all about that. Why is it they start on beer and then that ain't good enough? You can't drink enough beer. You got to have some alcohol or something to keep that thing going. I know, not that I'm a liquorhead, but my family was. You know, I was raised around it. I know. They said, well, he used to drink 2 beers a day. Now he drinks a case a day. How many is in a case? I forgot. 24? Of cans of beer. That's right. I didn't mean it that way, but you're right. Nobody's going to answer that. Anyway, but that's exactly the way it was. That's the same way it is. The world says, oh, this will make you happy, but it doesn't last. And that's what he's talking about. It will actually come that will eventually last forever, even though right now it might not seem like that's where we're going. We do not live in a world where we must choose between our eternal happiness and God's glory. God has created this world and its moral laws in such a way that the more we choose to glorify God, the happier we will be. Even when things fall apart around us, we can still be satisfied because he made us to be eternally happy. Eternally happy. Not necessarily on this earth. There's nothing in the scripture that says, well, you know, God says it doesn't matter what I do. He just wants me to be happy now. You ain't going to find that. It's not in there. It does not mean that there is no self-discipline. It does not mean that we do not self-deny ourselves. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, man, woman, child, person, that's what it means. It's a general term. It doesn't just mean men. If any person would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. For whoever saves his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will get it. That's what that means. What did he tell Samuel? What did Samuel tell Saul? You know, God told Saul specifically, when you go down there, kill them all, don't bring anything back. Normally when they went and took over a land, they would bring all the spoils back, and they would divide them up, and they could keep it. But he says, when you go down there, kill this wicked king and everybody there, and do not bring anything back as a spoil of battle. And Saul didn't listen. Saul brought it back, and when Samuel went to see him, like he could hide it, Samuel the prophet hears the sheep bleating in the background. He said, wait a minute, what's that? He said, well, I was going to give that to the church. That's what he said. Ain't that right? Well, I know this is tainted over here, but I know I stole it, but I'm going to give it to the church. It's about what somebody says. He said, wait a minute, God told you don't bring anything back. From that moment on, God was done with Saul. What did he tell him? God wants what? Obedience over sacrifice. That's it. And when people come and they kind of try to throw you off. Well, God wants me to be happy. No, he doesn't. Not that way. He wants you to be obedient. And then the happiness will follow. You know that story about the little dog, right? Little dog's talking to an old dog, and the little dog's doing crazy. You know, he's running around, trying to catch his tail. You've seen that, right? Haven't you? Little dog's trying to catch his tail. So he finally sits down to this old dog, and, you know, he's talking with him. He says, you know what? The little dog says, you know, I find that my happiness is in my tail. But I find I'm always chasing it. What am I supposed to do? I can't get it. And the old dog says, you know what I learned? I learned that if I just settle down and walk the way I'm supposed to, it just comes right behind me. And I have it. That's right. That's exactly what Jesus says. If you do the right thing, ultimately you will be happy, because you understand my happiness does not reside in stuff. Plastic stuff. Cars made out of plastic. Ain't that something? $75,000 for a plastic car. That's what you got. Plastic trucks. You can take a 2-pound hammer and total one in 2 hours. Brand new one. Am I right or wrong? And people throw their whole lives away for that nonsense. It's clear from Jesus' word that self-denial is a means of saving our lives. Okay, we have to go on a little bit faster here. We're moving kind of slow. All right, Daniel put it up on the... There's a bunch of verses in here from the scripture to help us understand this. We should all seek wisdom. We should all bend all our efforts to become wiser tomorrow than we are today. Surely. You don't want to make the same mistake tomorrow that you made today, right? So what happens is this. They say an ordinary person learns from their mistakes. A wise person learns not only from their mistakes, but they learn the mistakes that someone else made. But a dummy, they learn from no one. You know, you couldn't tell them. You can't tell them that fire's hot. They got to stick their hand in it. Look around. You know, look at what other people are doing and say, ooh, that doesn't look good. Man, a tire's going to run off there, or already has run off, so I'm going to stay away from that one. And no, instead we say, oh, well, that'll never happen to me. I'm too strong. Yeah, that's not what the stats show. Formal education is only one stage in the process of becoming a wise person. Just because you got a high school degree doesn't mean you're wise. Just because you have a doctorate degree doesn't mean you're wise. I know plenty of guys with PhD. They don't have enough sense to get out of rain. I'm serious. That doesn't mean it. It is just one step in that process. You can walk out of high school with straight A's and still be a fool. You can. Doesn't mean that. It's just one. So much of life has been professionalized and institutionalized. I'll give you an example. We all know someone who'd been in a situation where he was over, I don't know how many people, 40 people, and he was ahead over it. And he comes to another part of the country, and they will not even give him a job over 4 or 5 people just because he doesn't have the paperwork. He's got 40 years of experience, by far surpassing anybody even in the department, but they won't hire him. Why? Because he hasn't been institutionalized and got that little piece of paper that says, you know something. So, and it's the same thing in preaching in the church world. There are plenty of preachers that go through all this stuff and they get all these degrees, and they have no idea, no discernment, no ability to move from wasness to isness. You know, that's what the Bible is, right? You're walking out of Jerusalem in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you're walking into Byron, and you got to translate some of those principles. How does this thing flesh itself out now? They don't teach you all that in the system. They teach you how to figure some of that stuff out if you pay attention. We easily slip into the notion that it is the responsibility of some professional institution to give us wisdom. And just because we have this degree, oh, well, we're smart enough to do it. Go back and look at some of our government hires over the last 20 years. Some of the people that our presidents have put in major key positions because they have all this education. They made a horrible mess of stuff. Why? Because they have no experience. You know, you got to know how to work some of it out. You might know a bunch of stuff. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is taking knowledge and filtering through it and working it out how it comes out in real life. Ephesians talks about that, the whole thing. What is knowledge? It's one thing. Wisdom is being able to use the knowledge so that you can work throughout life. We looked at that last week. What he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to think through some of that stuff. You know, you go to a seminary or go to a university, and they just teach you some principle things. You have to learn how that works out. You can't, it doesn't just dump it out there on you. But we've come so institutionalized now that, oh, well, yeah, they're the perfect position just because they have a degree. No. And just because you go from here and get your next degree without seeking the wisdom, you're not going to be any wiser than you are right now. You might have more knowledge, but what are you going to do with it? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. You have to have some wisdom to go along with the knowledge you have. You know, my dad only had a fifth grade education, but common sense and ability to think through stuff, he surpassed plenty of people that I've known since then that have doctorates. Why? Just because of that. You got to think through the situation. When you don't have as much knowledge, you got to figure some things out how it works. Now we don't go through the problem of learning something. We just take something, what somebody says, and we don't experientially exercise it so we know, okay, this is just how this works. It's called discernment. There's a lot of people that have no discernment whatsoever. You know what that means, right? You look at the situation, and because of the knowledge you have, you look at that and say, oh, man, we can't go down that path. I don't care what everybody else says. The tendency of continuing education in ministry, and there's nothing wrong with continuing education, but a lot of times they say, well, you know, I quit going to a lot of stuff. Why? Because when I walked out of there, I said, I just wasted 2 hours. I didn't learn anything. And because you just go to the institution, automatically you're smarter than where you went in. And that's exactly what our systems operate off of. That's not true. Just because you go through something, and there's nothing wrong with some continuing education, some of it is a complete waste of time and money. Think through it. The implications seem to be that wisdom and understanding are something you purchase. Well, I'm going to this university, so automatically I'm going to be wiser. No, you're not. You'll just be an overpaid fool if all you have is education. And some of us will have to suffer from it if you get to make decisions for our life. Hello? You all know what that's about? Aren't we doing it right now? Rather than being a daily, lifelong process of growth. Wow. Daily. We should never be content with the wisdom we attain through our formal education. You know what you have to do? You have to learn how to figure some things out. I remember when I graduated from high school, it was 10 years later before I ever did any more formal education. And my first half year at college, it was tough, you know. It was real rigorous, and they demanded a lot. And I didn't even learn how to do that in high school because it just wasn't there. And I remember halfway through that first year, my grandmother passed away on my mom's side, and we came home for, I did the funeral, and it was on Good Friday. And bless her heart, my sister, she never heard me speak the 2 years that I did fill-in work before I went off to Bible college. And we were leaving the little eating area in the church, and we're going to the auditorium where the service is going to be. And she kind of pulled me over to the side. She said, now, don't you embarrass us. She meant well. I didn't embarrass her. But at that same thing, my first cousin who married a really nice guy in Atlanta, a much older guy, he just said, what have you learned since you went off to school? I said, I learned how much I don't know. Boy, I did. I thought I knew something. I didn't know anything. But I was learning how to learn. That's the issue. Are you learning how to learn? Or are you going to depend on somebody else to spoon feed you? And if that's all you get, then you're going to be indoctrinated. You won't have your own convictions. You won't know any how to think on your own. You're just going to pick up what somebody else said. That's what the problem is now. That's where we are now in the university system, because that's what's been happening for the last 40 years. And the leaders now have been so indoctrinated and not taught how to think on their own. When you start to talk with them about an issue, they just go ballistic. Why? They say, we can't think like that. So just because you have an education doesn't mean you're wise. If you want to be wise, We're going to talk about that real quick. How does that work? Why is it important to get wisdom? It's important because it's how we gain true, lasting happiness. That's the issue. That's what he's talking about in Proverbs. You want to be satisfied? You want to be happy? You need to be paying attention to wisdom and get a hold of that and get a hold of it and hold on to it. Or you say, well, we need it. How do we get it? Let's jump down to that real quick, because Danny, like I said, he'll put all these verses on there for us. It'll be on the internet if you want to see it. And please understand, you can get some short-term happiness outside of God's plan, all right? This verse says that. Folly is a joy to him who has no sense. You know, there are plenty of fools that, oh, we did all this and we're happy, but it just doesn't last. And they go into the next thing because that runs out, and they go to the next thing. So there, you can find some happiness, short-term happiness, but it doesn't last long, and surely not eternal happiness. So how do we do that? We do it in all kinds of ways, and we got to pass over that. What is wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord here is not, I'm afraid of God. If you look at the whole context and study the verse, it says this: I'm afraid of leaving God and trying to be happy on my own. That's the context. It's not that I'm afraid of God. Oh, you should have an awesome fear of who he is just because of who he is and who we are. But the fear is that they're talking about here is, I have a fear that if I'm not careful, I will go out there on my own and push God aside and try to be happy and satisfied myself. He said, that's the fear. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One, of the insight. The wisdom that leads to life and ultimate joy begins with knowing who God is, that he has a plan. Why? Because he's made us to be eternally happy. He's made us that way. Now, quickly, let's go on to how does that happen exactly? You know, number one, a humble person who does not think they know everything, you can teach them. But someone who thinks they know everything and they do not, shun them. Right? What was that old Iranian proverb? I was going to read it for you. If one person calls you a donkey or a jackass, pay no attention to them. But if five people call you one, go out and get you a saddle. If enough people are always telling you, you're acting like a goober, you need to listen. But it's hard to tell someone who thinks they know everything that they do not know everything. You're better off to go somewhere else. Why? Because you can't teach them anything. They're not teachable. Coaches in here. You ever tried to coach somebody that was uncoachable? What do? You just throw them off the team if you can. Why? Because they mess up everything. They mess up everybody else. Not only will they not listen to you, you know, in our homeschool team, one of our only coach that Meredith had, this coach started when Meredith was a JV player, and she's going to coach till Meredith finishes, I guess. And what she saw was this: a particular set of girls that play in our homeschool group came from a different system, and over the years she's learned they will never listen to her. They think they know everything from this other club, so she can't teach them anything, and they're not good players. It's not like they're the best by any means. But she said, I can spot every one of those girls that came out of that system. They think they know it all. They won't listen to anybody. And this lady's been coaching. She's 50-something years old, and these 16, 17-year-old girls said, oh, you can't teach me anything. Therefore, they haven't gotten any better in the 4 years that we've seen them play. Why? You can't tell them anything. You're not going to get any wiser if you think you know it all. You know what, what's his name, Will Rogers said? He said about teenagers, he said, what you probably need to do with teenagers when they become teenagers, and you could run this from teenagers right now up to 45s, 45-year-olds, it's about the same thing. He said, when they get to that age, you need to, especially when they're 15 to 16, you need to just put them in a barrel and feed them through the hole. And he said, then when they get 18, plug up the hole. Why? You can't do anything. I mean, you get 18, you know everything, right? Ain't that right? Oh, I know much more than my mom and dad ever known. Ain't that right? That's exactly what we're talking about. If that's where you are 4 years from now, I don't care how much money you spend on education, you won't be any wiser. You'll just be an educated fool. You'll be educated beyond your intelligence. That's how they say it, right? What did Deuteronomy say? Behold, I have taught you the statutes and ordinances that the Lord my God may be commanded that you should do them, keep them and do them, for they will be your wisdom. God knows how the thing works. So how do we do that? Quickly, let's go to it. How do we do that? How are we to get wiser? How do we get wisdom? You got to want it. That's the first thing. Do you want to be wiser? You're going to have to apply yourself. Do you want to be wiser? Or you just want paperwork? Do you want to be any wiser, or you just want a degree? A friend of mine who had gone on through the system a few years before I did, and I was asking him some questions about it. He was in another part of the state, but I'd gone to a seminary with him, and I said, what about this thing? How does it work? He said, I don't know. He said, I just wanted a DR in front of my name. I don't know. I said, what a waste. He just wasted this whole time. He not learning anything. He said, really, that's what he said. He said, I want the doctor in front of my name. I don't know about all of those stuff. I said, wow. Well, I learned something that day. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you for your embrace. To prize something and embrace something are signs that we have a desire for it. Do you want to be better at something? How much time are you putting into it? Herschel Hobbs made a comment one time. He's dead now, a great Baptist theologian, preacher. He said that that he was studying, just started studying, what would you call that? Not intermediate Greek with A.T. Robertson, probably one of the greatest Greek scholars that's ever lived. And he was studying under him, and I mean, if you know anything about him, he was just brilliant. God had blessed him. And he died his first semester. A.T. Robertson died. And he got to thinking about it at the funeral. He said, you know, how is it now that he can't pass that on to me, what it took him so long to learn? He says, if I'm going to get there, I have to have the desire to get where he was, or I'd never have it. That's it. Do you want to be wise? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to pay that price for it? Wisdom must be valuable for us, and we'll be willing to give up everything to get there. It's going to cost you. Always. Second one is this. Because wisdom is found in the Word of God, you need to know what God's Word says. You can listen to it. You can learn it that way. Or you can read it. How are you going to know what God's Word says unless you read it? What does he say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's how you start. Do you really want to know? Oh, well, that's an outdated book. It doesn't really apply to me. We must apply ourselves to study and to know. And don't always depend on what somebody else says. Because remember, they're just opinions. You go by this book that so-and-so says it might be okay, but you got to remember, it's an opinion. They're interpreting what the Word says. They come with their own interpretation. They could be right. They could be wrong. You can study on your own, and you can come up with a pretty idea of where is this coming from now? You got to know yourself. Well, I don't have time. Then you don't want to be wise. That's it. Do you really desire it? Do you want to pay that price for that? To pray for it. Remember Solomon? Outside of Jesus, he was the wisest person that ever walked the earth. You remember what the queen came to him and said, man, I've heard about you. I want to come see this. You remember what it says? Solomon was not born wise. A lot of people say, well, they're just born with it. No, nobody's born with it. Remember what he said? He prayed to God, and he said, God, this is what I want. I don't want riches. I don't want honor. I don't want all this other stuff. I'm asking you to give me discernment so I can lead your people correctly. He prayed for it. Boy, some tires ran off later down the track. He started pretty good. Then he got off with all those crazy wives he had, and they led him astray, and God told him that's what was going to happen through the prophet if he wasn't careful, and that's exactly what happened. But he started good. Why? And he said, God, will you help me? Remember the situation where the lady came in, the two prostitutes, and they had one child, and one of them's child had already died, and the other one's trying to steal the other one's baby from him, so they go in there, and they're fussing back and forth. He said, I tell you what, lay the baby up here and just cut it in half and give them both a half. Remember what happened? In his wisdom, the real mother cried out and said, no, give that child to him. He knew then. You don't get that out of an education. You don't get that through some degree program. You got to learn the principle and then work the principle out, how it comes out in everyday life. No seminary, no university is going to teach you that. You got to desire it, and especially from God's perspective. You got to know what God says and then pray, God, would you please give me wisdom on the situation? Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life or riches. That's what the answer was to Solomon. To get wisdom, we need to think frequently of our death. What? Yeah, you know you're all going to die, right? You know that, right? Nobody wants to talk about that. That's why when someone in our family that we love dies, everybody goes hysterical. Why? Because nobody's thought about it. Nobody's talked about it. You know, you got to remember, you're only going to live here just a little while. And then eternity, you're going to spend somewhere for the rest of time. You know how it translates, right? It's a long period of time, running to a long period of time, long period of time, running to a long period of time. There is no ending to it. You got to remember that this life is just a fraction. And you need to think through that, okay? If I only have this time, what am I doing with my time? There's a lot of us in here that are way over half our life is gone, right? If you're 60, unless you live to be 120, half your life is gone. Am I right or wrong? Is that right math? So what are you going to do with the rest of the time? How are you getting wiser? What are you going to do to help somebody else get wiser? Because it's coming. You know, it's coming. Absolutely. We need to think about how short this life is and what can we do. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I want to be wise about this thing. I only have this much time left. What am I going to do? What am I going to do about my kids, my grandkids, this, that? What am I doing? What am I thinking about? To get wisdom, you have to start with Jesus. That's what it says. You ain't going to get it on your own. You got to have some help. I've got to have some help. Do you want to be wiser? Oh, God has a plan that you can be wiser. You don't have to be a fool all your life. Isn't that right? Don't we all know fools, young and old? I know some old fools. Just because you're old don't mean you're wise. Just because you're educated don't mean you're wise. What do you want? All of us are going to the next level tomorrow. Today's a graduation day. Tomorrow's a whole other thing. What are we going to do with it? Do you want to get any better? It's going to cost you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you love us enough that you show us exactly how to be wise as children, as young adults, as senior adults. You've given us everything that we need so that we have discernment. We can look at the world around us and we can look at what they're trying to sell us and we can make decisions that are not only honoring to you but is good for not only our lives but the people around us in our community. Lord, help us analyze. Where are we getting our wisdom from? Help us make sure we submit to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.